hear the word of the Lord. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all graciously, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus, the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God's word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord, it shall endure forever and ever. This is a great day. This is a great day in the life of Faith Presbyterian Church. It's a great day for me personally, and I look forward to this day for quite some time. And whether you know it or not, God is openly, visibly blessing us today. He always does that. He's always blessing us. But today is a red letter day. You know what that is? A red letter day. Those are days that we cherish, that we mark on our calendars that, hey, this is a big day, and this was a big day. We celebrate it, and it's a day that we remember, and we are experiencing God's, right now, experiencing God's sweet providence. And on these red-letter days, you sense, you know in your heart, but you feel. We're body and soul, and our soul is mind, will, and emotions. Our souls are fully engaged with the fact that God is with us and that God is for us. And if you think about it, this time of year is filled with those red letter days. Have you noticed? And, you know, it's now June. I don't know how it got to be June. We were in May just a few moments ago. That May is December times two. It just flies through, right? And part of the reason is because you've got all these special days. Red letter days, you have people graduating from high school and from college, being accepted into the next level. You have people getting married, right? Next Saturday's coming up, right? So that's a red letter day for you guys. You have people that are moving to a new job, a new place. You see all that stuff. It's just this whirlwind of activity. This time of year seems to be packed with these red letter days of God's blessing in our lives. And again, we are so thankful for this red letter day in the life of Faith Presbyterian Church. But you also, you know, all days aren't red letter days. Some are the dark gray letter days, or sometimes the black letter days. Sometimes you don't get the job. Sometimes you don't get the acceptance you're looking for from the school or whatever. Sometimes you have to move because you've lost your job. And moving is never fun in that situation. Or maybe you've been in a car wreck and you're suffering from the wake of the injury and so forth. Or some of you still are battling cancer. Some of you have seen great progress in that, but you still have that in the back of your mind. Or maybe you're struggling. That gray day is a day of financial struggle where somebody that works for you embezzled thousands of dollars from your practice. Or maybe you're struggling in a relationship in your family, or maybe it's at work, or maybe you've had struggles of relational struggles in the church, and maybe you're struggling with a besetting sin. You just can't see, it's getting the best of you. You just don't know what to do. The grayness of the gray letter, black letter day is just overwhelming you. And so when those things are going on, there's nothing sweet about that. You don't see God's sweet providence. That's not what we call sweet providence, is it? Those are gray days. They're not red letter days. And for you and me, when those days come along, it's hard for me to believe that God is for me. Is it not? And so what do you do when it feels like God is not for you? What do you do? Well, last week, you remember Michael Davis, he was here, preached that wonderful sermon from 2 Corinthians, and he said, we need people around us, we need people in our lives that tell us what we need to hear. They tell us what we need to hear from the Word of God. They tell us the truth. And that's exactly what Paul is doing in the book of Romans. You know, this is a church just like our church, and like every other church, they had problems, personal and corporate problems. You know, we normally think of Romans as just being this great treatise on all the doctrinal stuff, and it's the greatest book, greatest letter in the history of the world. But it is written to a church who is struggling. It's a normal thing. And Paul, as he is their pastor at large, so to speak, as he's their friend, he tells them what they need to hear. He answers that question of, you know, when you're in the gray day, when you're in the struggles of life, when you're in the mundane stuff of life, he answers that question. How do you know that God is for you? How do you know? And this morning, I'm borrowing this outline from David Pallison, a great book on sanctification. I urge you guys to get it. It's really, really good. But it's actually God's word through Paul, and David has got his wonderful outline, but I'm going to use and borrow that outline to remind you of the four things that Paul tells this church to show them again that God is for them. And as you remember again today that God is for you, I hope that you will purpose in your heart to be more deeply devoted to the Lord. And will purpose in your heart as you come to this table to not only be more deeply devoted to the Lord, but that you will be more deeply devoted to one another. That's where we're going. Would you pray with me? And we'll continue. Father, thank you for your word, and we thank you for the comfort that you give us. We thank you for the strength that you give us, and we thank you for the encouragement that you give us through your word. That is the purpose of preaching. And Father, I confess that with all these, my brothers who love me, all these preachers, I'm nervous about impressing them with a good word. Forgive me for that foolishness. I believe they probably need to hear this as much as I do. And I pray that you would use me to a sinful man to encourage, especially these families that are in ministry. Because the church can be hard. But again, we thank you that your mercy and your grace is greater than any hardness that we experience. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Encourage our hearts today. Lord, use me to bring glory to your Son and to encourage and strengthen and comfort my brothers and sisters. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me start this way. It's hard for us to sacrifice, isn't it? You know, look at all these guys here today. It's a big sacrifice to get here today. Thank you for coming, bringing your families. And, you know, I told them, well, now y'all know how I feel when I have to drive to Birmingham for Presbytery, right? You know, at least you guys get to come over here at least once and get to suffer like this. But we do appreciate the sacrifice that you are making. And we sacrifice all the time for people. You know, you guys do that. But most of the time when I sacrifice for somebody, it takes a while to get the juices of sacrificial serving going. You're probably not like that. No, I know the Bible. I know what the Bible says about your heart. Some of you have gifts of mercy and sacrifice, but most of us, God has to move in us. And once we get to doing whatever we're doing, visiting somebody in the hospital or whatever we're doing, it's always a super blessing, and we're wondering why we were so grouchy about having to go do something that we needed to do that was really good for us in the first place. But that's the way we are as people. But fortunately for all of us, God is not like that. God is not like me. He is much different than you and me when it comes to service. Look at verse 32 again. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Now, Paul is talking about God's attitude. Let this attitude be in you that was in Christ Jesus. The attitude of our Father. His attitude. He's talking about God's heart. He's talking about God's motives. God is a person who is animated by a gracious heart. His hands move because his heart is a gracious heart. And you see that without a doubt in the cross. The cross is the clearest place where we see the gracious heart of our Father. He gives us what is nearest and what is best, what is dearest to his soul. The Lord, the Father, gives us his best in the cross. And the cross shows you, without a doubt, that God is for you. He is for you. Now, recently, I turned 60 a couple of weeks ago. That was about a month and a half ago. May went by so fast, I don't even remember. My birthday's in April. Just want to remind you all of that in case you forgot it. But and there's somebody in this room who has known me for 60 years. Can you know what a privilege to know me for 60 years? That's, most of you haven't known me that long. But and most of those years, my brother has been for me. I remember the many times in the front yard with the lawn chair and the wiffle ball whizzing past my bat, and thunk. You know, he was left-handed pitcher. You know, he just would strike me out to his pleasure. And I can't say that he was for me. Then maybe he was teaching me to be a good batter. I don't know. Maybe that was his motive. I kind of doubt it. But he is for me today. Catherine and I have been married 35 years. She's been with me a long time. She has been for me for a long, long time. And I'm thankful for those two wonderful blessings in my life. You know, Jimmy and Jean Miller have been married 50 years. Celebrated their anniversary last night. 50 years with Jimmy Miller. Can you believe it? That's what everybody says, right? And she said, you know, I really do deserve this. It's so sweet to see that. Look at verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn of many brothers. Many brothers. You know, in Ephesians, Paul also says that before the foundation of the world, that in love, God predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. And that means that a long time ago, before there were any galaxies, God freely set his affection on his chosen people. And that means if you are a Christian, you know that before the foundation of the world, that God set his affection before any galaxies, before any stars, before anything. God set his affection on you. And so God has always, even before the foundation of the world, he's always been for you. Always been for you. And Paul reminds his friends of that great fact. God was for you all along. And so God was for you on the cross. It's very obvious. And it's not quite as obvious until you think about it. But when you go back to the scripture and you listen to the Spirit speak the word of God to your heart, you listen to your shepherd speak his word to your heart. I have loved you with an everlasting love, with an eternal love. Through the blood of the eternal covenant, he has loved us. God has been for us all along. All along. Never a doubt. Never a doubt. Third thing that Paul reminds his readers and his brothers and sisters of is this. And this touches back on the first point. You know, if God graciously gives us his son and he graciously gives us all things, what does that mean? Grace. It means, and if you go all things, that means that He is abundantly for you. He's abundantly for you and me. And what does that mean? Well, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. What does that mean? You've been forgiven of every sin. Every sin. of your life has been forgiven on the cross. You have peace with God. You were not condemned. There is no condemnation. Even when you struggle as a sinner, as a Christian, there is no condemnation. You have peace with God. God accepts you because of Christ. And you can have peace with others. You can have relationships of deep devotion, deep friendships with one another because of Christ, because of God joining you to His heart. You can have peace with yourself. That's such an important thing, is it not? And God, you know, slowly but surely, He is making you and me like Jesus Christ. That's what He says He's going to do. We have been predestined to be conformed to the image of the great King, the one who's not ashamed to call us His brothers and sisters. And when Christ comes again, He will transform these lowly bodies of humiliation to be like His glorious body. By the power that He has to bring all things into His subjection, He will give us new bodies like His glorious body. And He will give us new hearts. He will fully change our hearts. Our hearts will be glorious like His heart. And we will never sin again. And we will live forever in a beautiful earth with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we will serve our King forever and ever and ever. We will be glorified like Jesus Christ. But right now, perhaps the greatest blessing, the greatest spiritual blessing, is that the Holy Spirit lives in us. He has renewed us. He dwells in us. He walks with us. He prays for us. He counsels us. He is our friend. So God is abundantly for you and for me. And finally, this Jesus who was for you on the cross, and this Jesus who, along with the Spirit and His Father, chose us in love before the foundation of the world to be their people, to be brought into their family, into their community, to participate in the divine fellowship and so forth for eternity. This one who's abundantly for you, He is still for you. He is still for you. He still shepherds you. He still prays for you. Right now, Jesus is the God-man. He is praying for everybody in this room. And I appreciate the fact that you pray for me. I've had people call me on Sunday morning. You know, say, "Oh boy, what's going on? Who's sick?" Or, "No, I'm praying for you." If you want to do that, I invite you to do that. I'll go, but thank you. Once I calm down and get over myself, I will be so thankful that you did that. I appreciate your prayers for me. But Jesus, His prayers are even more effective than yours. His prayers are sweet and perfect. And He prays those sweet and perfect prayers for you and for me all the time. He is still for you. Still for you today. And so, what does Paul tell the Romans? He says, God is for you. God has always been for you. God is abundantly for you. And He is still for you. Another way you could put it is that from Romans 12, as Paul moves into the imperatives after we've heard the gospel, as he teaches us how we are to live, how we are to treat one another. Another way you could put all this, that God is for you, is that He is deeply devoted to you in love. Deeply devoted to you in love. Is that not a beautiful phrase? I mean, that's in the Bible. It's Paul, right? It's the Word of God. And so, as you consider that phrase, as you come to this table, the question of your life and my life is this. Are you for Jesus Christ? Are you more devoted to Him today than you were last year? Do you see God's work through His Word and Spirit and through His people? Are you becoming part of this fellowship of believers who are experiencing the transforming power of the gospel and you are an agent of change in the lives of others? Do you see that happening in your life? This is a red letter day in the life of our church. We see how deeply devoted God is to us. And as we see his mercy and grace to us, I need to ask myself this. Am I following Jesus with an utmost devotion? Am I following him and thanking him for his purposes in my life? Am I for him more than anything else in the world? Are you for Christ more than anyone or anything else in the world? And are you devoted deeply in love to his people? It's what happens to you and me when we believe the gospel, when we believe God's word. But, you know, you're reckoning, okay, what am I thinking? Well, yeah, Rick, I'm not really there. I can tell you the same thing as your pastor, as your friend. I'm not really there. But the only way that we will make progress in this life, the only way we will be deeply devoted to Christ is to remember his devotion to ours, to us. The only way you will honor others over yourself is to remember that Christ has first honored you above himself. It's like John says, we love him because he first loved us. We honor him because he first honored us. We are deeply devoted to him in love because he was first deeply devoted in love to us. And when you remember that, you will be changed. You will love him, and you will love your neighbor more and more the way Christ loves his people. So come to this table. Repent of anything that you are for more than Christ. It's probably yourself, like me, right? And Christ will forgive you because he is for you. He's always been for you. He's graciously for you, and he's still for you right now as we come to this table. Let's pray together.